Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Hi, Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show.
We take a walk.
It's 7:12 in the morning. Hi, everybody. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by the Lindeman Chimney Company and by our friends at Ace Hardware. I was talking to Mike Steven as he was leaving, and I think I'd mentioned this. Jenny Steven, his lovely bride, who used to work here at WGN Radio, now works over at Ace Hardware. And next week is the convention, the Big Ace Convention. And Mike says to me, "So, what do you, you know, what do you got going on this week?" And I go, "Well, I didn't say this on the air, but I'm going to Las Vegas with your wife." I didn't know if people would take that the right way, but I will be in Las Vegas with Mike's wife. So we're gonna go gambling and craps tables. What's the, Lindsay, what's the color I have to put on the blackjack table for you? Oh, hi. Is that you? That's you. What are you doing? There you go. I wish there was two things for to turn you on and off. I still am not listening to you.
That was actually, okay. Anyway.
There you go. Hi.
Black 17 is
Black 17. Okay, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Veronica, are you a gambler?
Not really. You know, I'll buy a occasional lottery ticket, but that's
I've talked about this, that Las Vegas is not my most favorite place to be, but it's the center of all conventions now. Everything's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you get off the airplane and
hear about it from my husband. Oh, I've got to go to Vegas. Oh, you poor thing.
I just don't gamble. I don't. It's just not my thing. I don't. I would much rather say, Veronica, Lindsay, let's go out to dinner. I'm buying. I would much rather spend my money on that.
Exactly. And if you add up during the year.
At a really nice place. I'm not going to take you to Red Robin. No offense to the people at Red Robin. Yum.
If you add up during the year.
I do like
all
those onion rings on the things that my wife.
You know what I like Red Robin, by the way? They do every burger in veggie.
Really?
Yes. And no matter what you order, they will make it into a veggie burger. Because usually.
You know, I like that.
You go to a restaurant.
Are you a vegetarian?
Yeah.
Did you know that about Veronica?
No, but is it with your news people? I remember Beyonce was a vegetarian too.
Yeah.
And I'm a vegetarian.
Right.
Mm.
Steve Alexander was really finicky about what he would eat, right? He was like a cat. He would, he would just look at it and put his nose up. Oh, I could never eat that. Oh, please. That is from a calf or whatever he would say. Right. Who else? Oh. Steve Bertrand, I don't think he ate. He's so skinny. He just didn't eat.
He is skinny mini.
Yeah. I didn't know that you were a vegetarian. Are you? Do you eat fish?
Yes. So I'm technically a pescatarian.
A pescatarian.
Yeah. But Red Robin will do any burger that you want. Because you know how this is, Lindsay. If you go to a restaurant, there's like one veggie burger on the menu.
Right.
It's a little garden burger patty with onions, tomatoes, and a bun. But if you go to Red Robin, they will take anything, which I like the jalapeno burger there. But you just say, hey, make it a veggie. And they will do exactly the same thing, only with a veggie patty.
And is it delicious?
I think it's good.
Can we do it at the same time? Yum.
Yum. Ready? Red Robin. Yum.
So I just heard that Lou's taking us to Red Robin. Is that what
he said? Well, I mean, at this point, now we've... I mean, here I was saying, I'm going to take you to a nice place, not like Red Robin, but now we've given them free commercial time. It's not that I dislike the Red Robin. It wouldn't be... I mean, I think that if I were to say, ladies, come on, I'm going
to
buy you dinner. Meet me at the Red Robin.
Let's go to Nobu.
Really?
Well, you don't like sushi. I'm a big sushi lover.
Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking, like, there's a French restaurant when I come down here all the time. Mary Beth and I were there called Brindle.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
What hotel is it in?
No, it's right on Clark Street.
Oh, I thought we were talking back to Vegas. I can't keep up.
No. It's very yummy. It's very expensive. You're right. Ladies, Red Robin. Yum.
You know, they should just bring us stuff now that we've mentioned
this. Well,
so
I mean,
times.
Now the fact that we, I mean, the veggie burger thing, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. the tower of onion rings that I'm never allowed to order.
That thing is pretty immense.
Right? And don't they do the unlimited French fries or something there?
I don't know if I've ever been to a Red Robin.
Really? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always very, there's one by our house. There's a Red Robin and a Buffalo Wild Wings, which, can I tell you? Though I have not honestly been to a Hooters in a long time, what?
Nah, keep going.
there's a whole other reason why I don't go to Hooters. The wings are better at Hooters, in my opinion. Now, this is the memory of Hooters, because when Mike and I lived in Florida, back when nobody knew what Hooters was, that's where they started. And we used to go to Hooters. Now, we were young men. We were in our 20s. As you should be when you go to a Hooters. And the wings were fantastic. And they're better, in my opinion.
Maybe. I've had the sauce.
Well, you wouldn't. You're going to get me in trouble. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Wisconsin. Jim's in Wisconsin. You're on WGN. Good morning, sir.
Lou. How's y'all, Lou?
Thank you. How can I help you, sir?
Got a question. Staying with my sister, she's graceful enough, went through a divorce, and to let me stay with her and her, my brother-in-law. And they keep the thermostats set at 65 degrees during the whole day. Right before she comes home, it pops up to 69, and then hovers there for a while, drops down to 65 throughout the night. Just wanted to know, in your opinion, what do you think? Isn't it a little bit more energy efficient to keep it at like a constant 68? Because it seems like, you know, it just the furnace really works, especially on the colder days.
Yeah.
To get it back up to that temperature. And I'm an electrician, union electrician, had a business, and kind of, you know, got an insight. I always thought and always was told that. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Well, you're sort of in between. So all the studies that they've done over the years, and I've given this advice, Jim, forever, is the fact that if you use a programmable thermostat and you use it correctly, you will ultimately save energy. Because the whole idea is, and the real trick in all this is, you don't want to manipulate the temperature more than, say, 8 degrees. And so the point is that if you, you know, say you leave the house at 72 degrees, you know, and that's the normal temperature that you're comfortable at. But then at 11 o'clock at night, when you're under the covers in bed, it turns down and goes from 72 to 68 or even 67. And then from 11 o'clock at night to, 5 in the morning, it's maintaining 67.
They drop way down to 65, though. They're from 65 to 69.
Well, right. But they're within that, you know, they're under that 8 degrees level. Okay. And so it will ultimately, you know, the thing is, on those really colder days, yes, the house cools off more, and it's probably marginal from a savings perspective. But like this moderate winter that we've had so far, when you think about it, you shut that thing down when you turn back the thermostat where it's really not super cold out, the house doesn't cool off as quickly, and so you can go hours before that furnace will kick on, and so you'll use less gas, you'll use less electricity. And so ultimately, you do end up saving money, and you know, it's a question of the length of time. Over a 12-month period, you will save money, and it's just a question of when you're up and you're cold, you got to put a sweater on. Hey, do me a favor, hang on a second. For being our first Saturday caller, let's send you an April Air. We're talking about thermostats. Let's send Jim an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. 7:21 in the morning, Lou Manfredini in the Allstate Showcase studio. We'll be back right after these.
Hey, this is Steve Bertrand. Now back to my friend Lou Manfredini and the Mixer Fix-It Show. Wait, I broke that one. Lou Manfredini. Hey, this is Steve Bertrand. Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own WGN.
He's a professional. 7:24 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Jerry in Round Lake. Hey, Jerry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Oh, morning. Hey, I wonder if you could give me a name of a glue that we could glue on a handle for a slow cooker.
Say that again?
I wonder if you could recommend a glue that we could use for a glass top for a slow cooker.
A glass?
That would work with the heat.
Oh. Okay, so the lid is glass.
And it gets hot.
Right, and that you have a handle on there now?
No, it doesn't have one. It's an old one, and it just has, like, side handles that you pick up, and it's very hard.
So where do you want to put this handle, on the very top?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But it gets hot. I know you're good at everything.
Well, you know, you're putting me on the spot here, because this is... All right, so the handle would be on the outside.
Yes.
And what would we put on there, like a porcelain handle?
I don't know what she's going to put, some kind of handle.
Well, I'm just trying to think of something that can take the heat. So, gosh, here's my only concern with giving you this advice, Jerry, is that, I don't know. So, silicone, okay, 100% pure silicone is effective up to 600 degrees, okay?
Yeah.
Now, that slow cooker doesn't get the 600 degrees. But that might be the way to go. Now, the other thing that would probably work is a polyurethane foam glue like a Gorilla Glue.
Okay.
So here's what I would try. No guarantees that it's going to hold up really well, but you can go to the hardware store and buy a porcelain knob that would be something you'd put on a kitchen cabinet.
Okay.
And it has... The portion where the screw goes, there's a flat portion of the porcelain that's there.
Okay.
I would take some of the Gorilla Glue and squirt it into the hole where the threads go, and then mm-hmm. just a little bit around the handle. Okay?
Okay.
Place it on the center of the glass, and then you need some type of weight to press down on. You know, make sure the glass is very clean. So
yeah.
If you can put a book or a clamp or something where
something.
It's got to be heavy, though, because here's the thing. As that glue starts to cure, it expands.
Yeah.
And so it's going to want to separate. And so the weight is important to really grip it. This glue does very well at sticking to glass. Without the bottle in front of me, it may have a heat tolerance on the back of it, but I'm sure it's well over 500 degrees.
Well, I'll ask somebody when we go to Ace.
Yeah, thank you. And then put that pressure on there 24 hours and give it a shot.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, I love your show, and I love your house, so I watch it every Sunday, Saturday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You have a great day, and I appreciate you calling this morning. 7:27 in the morning. We'll be back right after these.
We're talking tools and jive here on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:36 in the morning. Hi, everybody. One of my favorite stories that we've ever done on House Smarts is coming up this weekend. It's on the floating homes in Seattle. I can't hear you. You're talking to me?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
You do like that one.
Oh, my gosh. Veronica, have you ever seen anything about these floating neighborhoods they have in Seattle?
No, but I'll take one.
Oh, my gosh. You have to watch this thing. You can watch it online, too, if you go to HouseSmartsTV.com. There's a whole community that was started in Seattle back way, way back as a place for people to live literally off of a pier.
Wow.
And they built these homes on top of cedar log rafts. So they fastened these huge timbers together and built a deck and then built a house on top of it.
Wow.
And you lived on the water. And there are still homes today that are have the original logs underneath them. And then if I showed you these houses, they're like houses.
Regular houses.
And because the logs now, some of them are over 100 years old, they're waterlogged. So what happens is the home starts to list a little bit. So then they hire a diver. It's on a lake in Seattle. They take these barrels, 55-gallon drums. They fill with water, and the diver goes under where it's leaning and then pumps out the water in the barrel. So now it's full of air and lifts it up.
Wow.
Oh, we're going to need another barrel. And then they fasten the barrel to the underside of this.
Now, these are actual neighborhoods, so they can't also be rented out for, like, vacations and things?
I don't know about the
because
rental.
Because when I lived in California, the big thing at Shasta Lake, big Shasta Lake Dam, was everybody started living on houseboats out there. But then they got angry because people started renting out the houseboats, and it was just like this big party central all the time.
Well, I think it is big party central, but I think it's party central with everybody that lives there.
Ah,
there's like this whole community.
Okay.
But these, when you say houseboats, it's not a, they don't go out into the water.
No, they were just.
They're rafts.
Just big. Yeah, but they look like a boat instead of, as you're describing, look like, they don't look like a home.
No, they look like a home. But the one house you have to see, this is amazing. So it's in Seattle, right? This one guy who lives there, who I think is the guy that invented Windows XP. Okay? So I think he did really well for himself, worked for Microsoft. Now he's retired, and I think he's 50.
Okay? Oh, jeez.
Right. So maybe I got to introduce you to.
Is he vegetarian?
I don't. Who cares? Right?
No kidding. He can eat all the meat he wants.
Exactly.
He has that much money.
Let me make you a steak, honey. And so this house he had built in Vancouver, Canada, it has a concrete foundation.
On the water?
Wait for it. And a basement.
Oh, my gosh. So when you go into the basement, you're actually underwater?
And there's a porthole in the basement. It's an 8-foot deep basement, all made out of concrete, that's drier than anybody's basement here on the ground. There's dust in there.
No sump pump required.
No, there is a sump pump. The guy's lived in this home for 10 years. It's never turned on.
Wow. Wow.
It is amazing. You got to see it. It's the cool. This house is beautiful. And it's granite countertops and ceramic tile. And it floats. It's incredible. So that's coming up.
And
on
it's a lake, so you don't have to worry about a tsunami or anything.
Well, but, you know, when the wind blows and everything, it can get a little rough. But it's really cool. You got to check it out.
It's in Seattle.
Exactly. Actually, that lake is the house that the guy lived in was across the lake. We were on the dock, and the guy goes, oh, that's the Sleepless in Seattle house.
Oh, really?
That was on the lake, but these are floating. That's the exact same lake. Huh. I can't think of the lake. It'll come.
Now, the only problem with that is because where I was talking about in California, because of the drought, became a problem because the lake levels went down so low.
Right.
I mean, it looks like a big brown sewer pit now when you drive by where normally it's a beautiful lake.
Right.
So that's the only bad part I could see.
Right. This is beautiful. You got to check it out. So it's this weekend on House Smarts. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Barbara in Chicago talking about water. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Lou. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
I live in the Beverly community, and my house is 108 years old, and it sits on what they call the ridge. Whenever we get a heavy rainfall, we get a lot of water pooling on our property, and our neighbors to the west of us, their land is higher. We don't know what kind of service that we would need to direct water away from this house.
All right. So when you say the water collects, so it's like it pools where? Is this in the front yard, the side yard, the backyard?
Every place. Every place. We have a patio that's low, and we have a trench that we dug out there years ago, but it fills with debris, and it's not very significant. Once in a while, we do get seepage in the basement, but we feel that our bigger problem is in getting the water away from our home. We just had roofing done, and they put large gutters in, mm-hmm. and that has helped only to a small extent.
Okay. The rest of your neighborhood, so where this neighbor you said is a little higher than you, what about the other neighbors? Are you higher than them?
Yes.
Okay, so do you notice if the water, does water pool at the other neighbors?
No.
Now, where this water pools, if I were to add some more soil to the yard and you know, raise up the grading, where would the water go?
Well, that's what we don't know.
Okay.
I don't know because...
And are you, let me ask you this too, are you higher than the street?
Than the street?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We're on what they call the hill in Beverly, the ridge there.
Okay.
So we are much higher than the street.
We need Kevin McDonough. He's a Beverly boy. He can explain this ridge thing to me. I'm not familiar with the ridge. Okay, this is, you got a couple of options here. What you need is a landscape contractor.
Okay.
And you need a landscape contractor that has experience in this kind of drainage and grading issue. What they're going to do is a couple of things. It might be that they can what's called shooting some grades. They come out with a surveyor's stick and scope, and they will take a look at the surrounding yards and see the level of that they may be able to come in and add some soil and some grass to start to shape the lawn a little bit so the water doesn't pool. The real challenge in this is we can't flood your neighbors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to be careful of that. Depending on the fact that you're higher than the street, they may do that along with, in conjunction, a drainage system where they would put like a large well, a collection well, or like a tub in the ground with a grate that would blend in with the grass and channel that to be able to dump it into the street.
Okay.
All right. It's a little bit involved. Now,
all right.
You're down in Beverly.
Right.
All right. I want you to hang on because I have, my friend Joe Polina, who owns Tommy Polina Landscape, they do this all the time. They're very good at it. I just don't know if they go all the way to Beverly, but I'll give you their phone number and you hang on and we'll get that to you, and then you can call them and see. And if not, they might be able to give you a recommendation of somebody they work with on the south side.
Okay, Lou.
All right, hang on 1 second. We'll get you that number. 7:44 in the morning, quick break, and we'll be back right after these. 7:47 in the morning, time now for Noodaloo 2. Where'd you find this Noodaloo 2?
They sent it to...
How you doing in there? We're on the radio, you know.
Sorry, they sent it to us from the Houseware Show.
I love these types of things because somebody is thinking. That's all I'm going to say. Take a listen to this. Oh, no, was that keep talking? Oh, keep talking. I love this, and I can totally picture this at my house and your house. I mean, or anybody's house. It's such a simple idea and so easy to install, and it solves a problem that you have that you're looking at it going, boy, how can I make this look a little nicer and look a little neater and solve this issue in particular when it comes to plugging things in? Take a listen.
We've featured some new Tulu 2s in the past that have had a USB port built right into the outlet cover itself, right? They're great. They free up those two electric outlets, giving you the USB port to still charge your phone. But you still have the problem of your phone or iPad or whatever you're charging being in the way on the counter, whether it's in the bathroom, my husband, or the kitchen, my husband again. Honey, leave your phone on the counter of a mom with two kids. It's going to get purple potatoes on it. Sorry. This week's new Tulu can help solve your problem, my problem, my husband's problem. It's an easy fix, and a why didn't I think of that product? It's called the Power Perch. Sounds really rough and tough, but it's actually very simple. It's an easy-to-install shelf that'll keep your phone and other electronics off the floor or counter while they're charging. And since it uses an existing outlet cover to mount, you get no damage to your walls. You can use it in your bathroom to hold your electronic toothbrushes, Keep it in the kitchen to keep your phones close at hand while charging. Put it in the garage for rechargeable tools or flashlights. Or keep it in just about any room in the house for a handy charging station or shelf. And Lou, you love that it's made right here in the USA. My only issue is that it only works with vertical single outlets. So hopefully they're working on one for the horizontal or maybe a double outlet. They come in white, black, and almond. And they come in a two-pack for $9.99. Deal! You can find out more at baratekindustries.com. That's B-E-R-A-T-E-K hyphen industries.com. Or you can just input Power Perch into your Google search. And of course, I'll put all this information up at Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on WGNradio.com, also on his Facebook page, and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It's basically a... If you take your outlet cover off of the outlet on the kitchen, I could totally see this in the kitchen. Because we have two cords that I changed the receptacle out so it has the USBs in there. And these two cords sit there or whatever. And the phones sit on the counter. It kind of drives me crazy. Here's my only thing about this is I'm looking at the picture that they have on it. Look, you can put toothbrushes on it. It's good for the bathroom, too. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I tried to install it on ours. David was all excited about it, but we have a mirror up on, and then it wouldn't fit in between the mirror and the wall.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if you have an electric shaver, they have a picture there. That's good. Yeah. Baby monitor. The baby monitor idea is a neat one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, I'm worried that the top is a little, they show a picture of a tablet, which it'll hold a tablet. They have a little, they did put a little divot in it, I think, to just kind of hold it there. But I wish the top wasn't as slick.
Oh, you think sliding off?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's, you know, it's one molded piece of plastic. And you take your outlet cover off, you place this over the outlet or a switch. You could do a switch too. Well, a switch, then you can't plug anything in. But then you put the cover back on. And so the screw and the cover just sort of hold this. I mean, you're not going to put a brick on this because it's just all plastic and ultimately one screw holding it. But this is smart. $10 for two of them?
$10 for two of them.
I know. See, this, what I like about this is, that, you know why they're pricing it right? They're from the Midwest. They're from Iowa. They get it. Well, I mean, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of times, how many Noodaloo 2s do we do? And we're like, that's great, but it's $50 too expensive.
Right.
And these guys got it right. This is a good one. Power Perch. I like it.
I'll put a picture up on Facebook, too.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And don't forget to vibe about it. Go to VibeScore. That's the, I'm so mad at John Williams. That's the John Williams app the John Williams app where you can vibe about different things and give us your opinion. And I like this one. I really do like this one. I got to vibe about it, too. Make sure you vibe about it as well. I'll tell you later why I'm mad at Jen. 7:52 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Jake in Des Plaines. Jake, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Love you.
I had a recent travel to Las Vegas, and when I arrived, I'm laying on the bed watching TV, and I notice all of a sudden all these little black specks. I'm like, what is this? I couldn't tell if it was fuzz or what, but upon, like, really looking at it with my phone magnifying, it was infested with it. Asked to get changed to another room, looked it over, didn't see anything, and then I looked really harder, and I saw a few more again. Asked to go to a third room and pulled back all the sheets on the bed, looked at the mattress, and there's blood stains all over the bed.
Ooh.
I assumed it was bed bugs. Ooh. I Googled bed bugs, Las Vegas, and the first thing that pops up are personal injury lawyer claims. So that really alarmed me, and he said the MGM has bed bug sniffing dogs.
All right.
So I got really creeped out, moved out of that hotel, wondering, does Ace sell any products when you travel that you can check for bed bug? And thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I travel a lot, and I do now find myself when I go to a hotel, it's one of the first things I do is pull the sheets back just to kind of take a look. And I'm going to knock on Corian countertop here that I haven't had a problem. Thanks, because I'm going to Las Vegas next week. Thanks a lot, Jake. Now I'm going to be itching like crazy. Here's the thing with bed bugs. It is a It is a very, very tough product, insect to eradicate. There are sprays, there are covers, there are sheets, all that kind of stuff that can go there. One of the things is the most effective thing for your home is to use a rubber, or rather a plastic fitted case. And those fit on your mattresses. You zip it all up. And so now the mattress is encased in like a plastic case. The problem with it is that the bed can get a little hot because now, you know, basically your mattress breathes when you're lying on it. And, you know, some people, if they have these foam mattresses, you know, will complain about the foam mattresses that they're a little warm because they don't get the kind of breathability that regular mattresses do. But that's one way to kind of eliminate or limit, rather, the possibility of bed bugs infesting. On a travel side, there are sprays that you can use, but most of those sprays, you have to spray them and then stay out of the bed for a while. And it's going to buy you some time, but it's not going to eradicate the problem.
I see.
So from
I do have one tip.
Okay.
I believe in that hotel, every room I walked into, they had the lights on, which I found odd because the bed bugs are nocturnal, so they don't want them to be even more active. So if you go into a hotel and if you think they leave the lights on, that's a clear sign they have a problem.
Well, I think you're correct about the nocturnal thing, but they're under the covers. So it's dark under there. I mean, they're not like out, you know. The thing is, if you get a bed bug infestation in a house, it isn't just about, oh, I'm going to spray stuff, whatever. Everything has to come out of that room. They're in everything. They're in all the fibers of all the material. And so you got to wash all that stuff in really hot water. You more than likely have to throw away the mattress. Then they got to vacuum the room like crazy and then treat it and then vacuum it again. And it's a big deal to get rid of it. So the fact of the matter is, when you got hotels, you got people coming from all over the place. And in particular in Europe, they don't even care about the bed. They kind of just live with it. You know what I mean? And it's really kind of gross. When you especially go into southern parts of the world, it's just I got these bed bug bites. It's not, you know, it's like that old saying where, you know, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. That was when the beds were all made of straw and rope, and you'd tighten the rope at night so you'd get a more firm sleep. And you would be bitten by the bed bugs that were living in the straw. So, yeah, that's a tough one. It's making me itch just thinking about it. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
The name game.
Two words.
Lou Manfredini.
Oh. Six syllables, two words.
Shirley, bo burly, bo nana, banana, bo furly, be fine, mo merrily. Shirley.
Five syllables.
Lou Manfredini. You're right. Lou Manfredini.
Lincoln, Bobingan, Bonana, Pana, Bobingan, Pee-Pie, Momingan, Lincoln.
Louis Manfredini. I was thinking of his full name.
Right.
Actually, Lou Manfredini is only five syllables, but Louis Manfredini is six.
Name game.
And now back to your host, Mr. Louis Manfredini.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour at 8:08 in the morning is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And just how Al Roker was making a correction, I just got a tweet from somebody about this, you know, our Noodaloo 2, Lindsay? I can't believe I didn't pick this up. So I love it.
What's up?
Our outlets here go the other way.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Our outlets here in the Midwest.
Yes.
I'm surprised that in Iowa it's not the same way. So this only works on a vertically mounted receptacle.
Mm-hmm.
They need to make one that goes this way, too.
I mentioned that. Are you listening to the show?
I like to listen to... You know what I found out? My father-in-law, God bless him, he only listens until 9.
What's
then
that
he switches.
Nine?
He switches to something else.
9 o'clock's the best hour because we're all warmed up.
I know, but he's very busy. He's got lots on his mind. But, I listen to, Veronica and I listen to traffic on the 8s. We want to know what the traffic's like. And I listen to the other station because they evidently have the water temperature.
Oh, yeah.
They do not.
Because I'm very focused on what the lake temperature is.
This is the only station that I've heard since
that gives the water temperature?
That gives it, yeah.
Really?
There may be someone else that does, but on a regular basis, WGN is the one that gives a water temp.
I think it's, I don't know, maybe I always want to know what the water temperature is. Because I think it says a lot about, here's the thing, okay, so here's the thing you always give too, the barometer.
It's one of the rare places they actually give the barometer reading too.
Okay.
And I don't really know.
Exactly. I'm no meteorologist, but what does it mean? I've said when Steve Bertrand used to sit there, I go, so what does it mean when the barometer's rising? And Steve would say, it's going up.
I actually would like someone to call and tell because I get migraines. And one of the theories of what sparks migraine is the barometer reading. And I don't really understand.
Well, barometer, right, has to deal with the pressure, right?
And yes, there is pressure in my head when I have a migraine.
I bet. But right, so what I want to know is, you know, so, I mean, I guess I could, you know, I go to WGN Studios. We don't have a meteorologist here anymore. But, I mean, I could ask one of those guys. I could ask Paul Conrad to ask Tom Skilling, because I don't really think he's a meteorologist. I think he just gets the weather from Tom and just repeats it. I think. I don't know. I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah. Well, Tom calls here during the afternoons, but he's so busy.
He's very busy.
Such a friendly man, though.
Oh, my gosh. I love him. He's great. So getting back to this. No, I do listen. Mm-hmm. I do.
But I said that was my that's my only issue is that it doesn't work with double outlets or horizontal outlets.
Correct. Which here in the Midwest, it's almost all horizontal. I mean, if you look around the studio, well, there's no outlets here.
We have a few that are vertical. It's just
some are, yes. Right. Sometimes in bathrooms they're vertical, but the vast majority, like where this would work really well, is on a kitchen counter. You know, on the above the counters, under the cabinets, all those are horizontal.
Ours are vertical, but they're double. So.
Oh, and they're double.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, they're actually horizontal and double. Aren't they?
Mine are vertical.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to be different.
Evidently. Boy, don't we know it. But I do think it's a great idea, and maybe, you know, here's the thing for our friends at Baratech. You know, I'm sure they're all excited about this. Now it's easy. That gives them the innovation that they can come out with next year, as opposed to everything at the Houseware show that's a new color, which drives me crazy.
Next year it'll be a new design.
A new shape. Now it goes this way. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Bill in Lamont. Hello, Bill. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you doing?
Good. How can I help you, sir?
I have a problem with a shower that's down on in the off the family room. That it goes into an ejector pump. Every time, I don't smell sewer gas, but when you turn the water on for a few minutes while the water's warming up, I smell the gas. A while back, you had somebody on, and you recommended something from Ace, and it slips my mind, and everybody, I go to Ace, and they're saying use bleach, use baking soda. First of all, I'm afraid of with the baking soda that would tear up the ejector pump. So that's my problem.
Okay. When you run the shower, so in other words, right now that the shower's not on, you can go down to that basement and nothing smells.
Correct.
The minute you start to run the shower and the water starts to warm up.
Correct.
You start to smell it.
But it does go away.
Yeah. Okay, I know exactly why this is happening. It's a shower base, correct?
Yes, it is. It's a plastic base.
All right. Can you take the drain cover off that base?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, on the side walls of that drain,
okay,
it's full of gunk and muck on the side walls. And there's bacteria that's growing there above the P-trap. And so when that water starts to get warm and it heats up, it activates that bacteria, which is why you're smelling it. So you can, and the baking soda won't bother the pump, but that's not what I want you to use. I want you to take a little Pine Sol.
Okay.
And a toilet brush or some kind of brush that long brush that you can get down into that drain all the way to the trap.
Okay.
And when you, I want you to stick the brush in there first, take a little pine salt, pour it over the top of the brush, and then scrub the side walls of that drain to get all that gunk and muck out of there, and then rinse it, pour a little more in there, and go to town, and I bet the smell will be gone.
I will do that, but it, this started, too, after my ejector pump failed and it backed up.
It could be, yeah. I mean, so the bacteria could have come from there, or it could just be a coincidence. If if the P-trap, I guess one other thing to check. When you pop that lid off, I want you to take a flashlight and shine down that drain and make sure you see water.
I do see water.
All right, so then we know the trap is holding water, and there's no little gap where you're getting a sewer gas. The fact that you don't smell anything when it's dry means that it's bacteria on the side wall that's coming up.
Thank you very much.
You know what we're going to do? I tell you what. When are you going to make this repair?
I'm going to do it sometime today.
All right. So I'm going to two things. I'm going to put you on hold. Okay?
All right.
Lindsay's going to get your phone number.
Okay.
And then next Saturday, I'm going to call you back to make sure that it worked.
Okay.
I'm also going to send you a Mr. Fix-It Lose Crew t-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip, created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet.
Thanks, Lou.
You got to hang on.
I love having coffee with you every morning.
I appreciate it. Hang on, Bill. We'll get that information for you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. What was I just going to say? Bill was reminding me of something, and I was going to say, so that whole little smell in that drain, you all have the same problem, too, in your vanity. When you lean down to wash your face, in particular ladies, when you're taking off the makeup and you're washing your face and the makeup's going down there, it sticks to the sidewall. And sometimes you'll put your nose down there and say, oh, my sink smells terrible. That little pop-up, if you reach underneath the sink, Lindsay, you're so intimately involved in how vanities work now. The way you lift the lever so the pop-up goes up and down, under your sink you'll see that little rod that goes into the pipe. You loosen that with your fingers, pull that rod out, then the pop-up comes out. You just pull it straight out. Put the rod back in and tighten it, because otherwise water will come out of there. Pour a little pine salt in there, a little tube brush, like the kind of brush you use to clean a baby's bottle. I mean, but then don't use it for the baby, but an old one. Scrub the side walls and get rid of all that muck all the way down to the trap, and the smelly drain will be no more. I promise you. 8:17 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou and the Mr. Fix-It Show. You know, I don't want to give away any secrets, but Lou told me he used to dance to this song on the job site back in the 80s. Yep, just him in his hard hat with a tool belt singing into his hammer. Now there is an image. Now back to that groovy, booty-shaking handyman, Lou Manfredini, on the Voice of Chicago, 720
WPN. No shirt. No shirt on with my tool belt.
If you're watching the live stream.
Right, I was just dancing.
Saw the reenactment.
My back was as black as the ace of spades, because when you're a carpenter, you're just bent at the waist all day long. Poor Mike and I, we never wore any sunscreen. Nothing.
How's your back looking now?
No hat. It's not as tan.
But I mean, were there any, did you get like sunspots?
I can't see back there. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, all that kind of stuff. Right, that we did without thinking. Wear your sunscreen. Wear a hat, for sure. 8:22 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Jan, all the way up in Door County. Hi, Jan.
Well, hello there, Lou. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, how's Door County?
Oh, it's pretty good. The snow has actually kind of melted.
Wow.
Yes, it's very beautiful. And listen, I'm excited because I bought a lake cottage with 8-foot ceilings, and it was built in 64, so it has these asbestos tiles in the ceiling.
Okay.
And so I need advice, because I'll probably be disturbing the tiles because I want to put some ceiling speakers in and some lighting and so on. And so I'm wondering, should I get a company to remove that ceiling, or can it be covered over, or what would be the scenario? This is a 900-square-foot house.
Okay. Now, you know they're asbestos because why?
Well, I read the literature on it, and it said things that were built before 1964 most likely had asbestos, and I also have a guy coming out to inspect it.
Right. So before the only reason I say that is the only way that you can tell if you have asbestos is to test it.
Mm-hmm,
so I think that the blanket statement that you hear a lot of, Jan, from people is they'll say, well, it was built before 1978 and it had asbestos. You know, they used a lot of asbestos, and that is true, mm-hmm. but not everything has asbestos in it.
Mm-hmm.
So before you get worried or, you know, like say, yeah. I got to do this.
Yeah.
You can take a little sample of the tile somewhere.
Yeah, I got a guy coming to do that, yeah.
Okay, let them test it first.
Yeah, okay. Then.
So there's a good chance that you don't have it, too.
Okay.
Okay, but if you do have it, so there's a couple ways to do this. The fact that if you're going to, is the ceiling in decent shape?
Yes, it is, except it's so old-fashioned, I'm going to be remodeling the place, and it's probably not a ceiling I'd like to have the look of.
Okay. So it isn't anything that you're just going to paint and say, wow, if I put a new coat of paint on, it's going to be fine.
I don't think so.
All right.
I'm going to make this place really rustic, and these square tiles in the ceiling don't look so terrific.
Got it.
Yeah.
How big of a ceiling?
Square feet. The house is 900 square feet, and it's the same ceiling throughout.
Okay. And it's a flat ceiling.
It's flat, yes.
All right. I would probably, if it were me, I would probably have that ceiling removed.
Uh-huh.
And completely down to the, the framing, especially if you're going to add some lighting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to make life a lot easier for the remodeling contractor or the electrician to do this work.
Uh-huh.
But you're going to need a company that is certified to do asbestos abatement if, in fact, it has asbestos.
Okay.
Now, everybody hears that and they think, oh, my gosh, it's going to be so expensive. It's really, it's more competitively priced than you think.
Okay.
They're going to come in. They're going to control the dust. They're going to put fans in. They're going to wear masks. They're going to spray a little water on it to keep the dust down. And they're going to carefully remove this stuff. And, you know, could it be $1,000 to remove that ceiling? Sure, it could.
Yeah.
But then you know it's gone and it's abated. And if you're going to use this place, and, you know, who's going to come and enjoy this place?
Lots of people.
Lots of people. Any children are going to come there?
Not too many kids.
Yeah.
We're on the older side now.
You don't like kids?
No, it's just that they've all grown up.
Well, but they may have their own children someday. And you don't want the stress of thinking that stuff's up there and it'll always be there.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I would start, let's first decide whether or not it has asbestos. Maybe you get lucky and it has nothing, and then if that's the case, then you could have the then you could either take it all down anyway just to make life easier, or if you wanted to add can lights and whatever and then do some type of wood, a thin layer of wood. You said you want to go with that rustic look.
Yes.
They have these wood panels that you can put on there and you can nail it right over the top of that and you're good to go.
Once the stuff is off of there, you mean?
No. In other words, if they say, it's not asbestos.
Oh, okay.
And Jan, we're only talking about adding like two or three can lights here. We'll just cut them in, whatever. And then you can put Lindsay, didn't we do a while ago a wood, like a Noodaloo 2 on the wood where you could put on walls and it stacked up and you nailed them on? Remember, there's all these companies now. It's essentially like paneling or it's like flooring for your walls.
So what do you call it? Like that, I should go look for it.
Well, it's like a wall. We haven't featured it. No, it's a wood. It's paneling, but it's boards. It's individual boards. You can get them in all different colors.
You mean like 1 by 12, like 12 inches across or something?
No, they're like they can be 4 inches wide, and they stack on like a wood floor. So nail them, you can glue them, and you could go right over the top of it, depending on how many lights and things you want to do. And plus the fact, if you're going to go over it, they can cut the can light in and cut a couple extra holes in there to get the wiring done. And then when you cover it with this new ceiling, it'll just cover up all that mess. And then you don't have to worry about taking the whole rest of the ceiling down.
Yeah, and they're going to have to know exactly where the holes are that are in the old ceiling, like when they put these boards on, right?
Oh, well, right. They go on individually, so they'll just cut around all that.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Get it.
And then,
go ahead.
Okay, the other thing is, if I have to have it taken out, should I have the electrical work done before the new ceiling is put on?
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
The name of the product that I was talking about is called Stickwood, and we did feature it.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No.
Yes, we did.
Lou, I'm the producer.
Mm-hmm.
S-T-I-K-Wood.
Stickwood, we did it.
For this show or for House Smarts?
Well, one of the shows. I'm very busy, Lindsay. I'm talking to Jan. Stop interrupting me. Jan, you have a lovely day. Good luck with that house. I hope
S-T-I-K-Wood.
Stickwood.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a million. This is really making my life easier all the way.
All right. Good luck with that new house. I appreciate you calling. We'll be right back.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to step down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to step down. 5 o'clock in the morning.
We have to use this for a rejoin. I like this. Oh, I'm so excited to talk to our next guest. All right, imagine this. A 10,000 square foot STEAM, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Arts and Mathematics exhibits that will develop STEM skills and inspire innovation as visitors invent, create, and imagine. Okay? Imagine that. 7 themed galleries, 3 innovation labs, an innovation showcase, and a 2-story STEAM climber, interactive factory exhibits, field trips for classrooms to support and outreach programs that will support regional schools and community groups, hands-on learning experiences for kids birth to 14 years old, evening family programming and immersion learning opportunities, and it will be a unique regional destination. Do you want to go? I want to go. And eventually, so does Amber McGuire. Amber McGuire is the board president of Kids Discovery Factory, and she joins us on WGN Radio this morning. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for including us this morning.
I am so excited about this.
So are we.
Give me in the audience a little 411 about who you are, what this is, where you are, and what you want to do. Ready, go.
Sure. So Kids Discovery Factory will be located in southeastern Indiana in the community of Batesville. And you might be familiar with Batesville, home of Batesville Casket Company, and the birthplace of Hill-Rom, mentioning some of our industry specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this idea came about with, honestly, a group of parents who watched their kids learning in a children's museum environment and thought, gosh, why aren't we offering this opportunity to kids in our own region? And as we got involved in the conversation with educators, parents, and business leaders, what we identified was a real need to introduce STEAM concepts, so the science, technology, engineering, and math, utilizing art as a way for kids to develop those passions so that they are prepared to take the lead in the industry of the future. And so they're prepared for what's headed their way in terms of jobs and opportunities. And to be quite honest, you know, kids are natural scientists.
Right.
STEM is fun. So let's give them a chance to really develop their skills and see what their own passions are.
All right. No, I'm not an educator. So STEM or STEAM, is it STEM or STEAM?
So we are focused on STEAM as our way to educate kids, so to share the science, technology, engineering, and math with them. Art is really the component that makes all of those things come to life.
Got it.
So
the idea is this, right? When I'm a little kid and I'm at the beach and I'm making my sandcastle and then I'm putting the walls up there and then I'm going, man, if I pour the water down here, it'll go down all the way to the lake and I keep pulling my water there. And then all of a sudden, you're, without even knowing it, you're learning engineering.
Absolutely.
And you're 3 or 4 or 5 years old. And when I first, when you guys reached out to us with this information, I looked at this and I think back of when our kids were little. I mean, my oldest son is going to graduate from college this year, but I can remember taking him to the Chicago Children's Museum on Navy Pier, which is a fine museum. And they had a waterwork area, waterworks area, where you would go in and you'd put a rubber jacket on. And they had this huge table where the water would be pouring in, and they had these doors that you could close and open and put a little boat in there and make it change direction. And I can vividly remember our son sitting there playing with that door. Oh, if I close this door over here, then the boat will go that way. And if I open this door, and the whole idea is you want to get these children to put their hands in this stuff.
Yes, it is amazing to watch a child and be able to see in their eyes the whole learning process taking place. So each opportunity they have to touch and feel something in line with these STEM concepts, they're able to internalize that information and pick up on it in a way that isn't possible just by listening, right? You need to really get your hands engaged in the learning process.
Or looking in a book or looking at pictures of it to see.
Right.
So so this this Kids Discovery Factory does not exist yet.
It does not.
And tell me what it is that you are all trying to do, whom you're affiliated with, and how we can help.
Okay. So currently, you know, the way we've been introducing this concept to our community started 3 years ago when we hosted a science enrichment day camp. We're planning our fourth year and heading more into a broader reach of STEM in that camp itself. So the process that we're in right now is really the conclusion of our conceptual planning phase. So in the next month, we will be able to share full-color conceptual drawings of each of the exhibit areas that we're highlighting. But we are in really the process of educating our business and school communities in the way that we are going to be able to help them in educating students in making, you know, STEM come to life for them and how that will affect our future workforce.
Right.
You know, last week on your show, you were talking about manufacturing specifically and how we're going to prepare our kids to fill manufacturing roles that are going to be vital to their futures and to the future of the nation. And we are working on sharing the fact that, honestly, if you introduce these concepts at these earliest stages, kids will be best prepared to fill those roles. And it really is at this age that provides the best return on that investment. So we are in the, I guess, sharing phase of this conceptual plan.
Right.
And really just trying to identify those individuals and businesses who want to partner with us at this point as early supporters, early financial supporters, to
right.
really get the project propelled forward.
So in your grand scheme, as you're sharing, and I don't know if you're ready to share this, but what kind of funding do you need to build out this space?
So our conceptual budget, and I say conceptual only because we're working to identify specific components of the project, but we're working on a $4.5 million budget.
Lindsay, get my checkbook. Get my checkbook.
I know, mine too.
Yeah.
The bulk of that budget goes into the development, fabrication, and installation of those exhibit areas, those gallery areas that are really going to be instrumental in sharing these concepts with our kids. You know, the other components of that go toward, of course, the build out and preparation of the space.
Right.
Early.
I think it's awesome. I think there's such a great opportunity for, I mean, I'm just thinking of people like, you know, companies like Caterpillar, who could come in with, you know, they have this, they make this simulator for operating heavy equipment that they use in training, you know, young people or even mm-hmm. not so young people, how to operate this equipment that they sell. I mean, it's ridiculously expensive, but that would be an investment that somebody like that could make in an opportunity like this to help kids get that hands-on learning or, you know, John Deere or any one of these companies, I think, I assume you'd be open to them
Absolutely.
Exploring opportunities with you.
Absolutely. You know, there are great examples out there of corporations that have partnered with similar institutions to support this kind of learning at an mm-hmm. early age.
I think it's awesome. I think that this is a great idea, and I hope that, and I know that there are other examples of these types of interactive, opportunities for kids. But the fact that you're so focused on this to really get them out there, I think, is terrific. So, if
Thank
people
you.
Are want to help, both in a financial aspect, or they just want to learn more, or if someone is a company that wants to help out, how do they get a hold of you, folks?
You can get more information about Kids Discovery Factory on our website, which is kidsdiscoveryfactory.org. And there's easy information on there how to get in touch with us. We would love to talk with anyone who's interested in supporting this this project, because it really would go a long way in terms of getting not only the kids in our region prepared for their futures, but, you know, we're a quick, simple drive from Chicago, for instance, just 4 hours, and right between Indianapolis and Cincinnati. So it really could be a true Midwestern support.
I love it. Do me a favor. Keep me posted. Keep us both posted on how things go. As things progress, let us know, because I'm happy to continue to help promote this and try and get more and more people involved in this. Amber McGuire is the board president of Kids Discovery Factory, and they are trying to build this fantastic factory to teach kids and be hands-on in Batesville, Indiana. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lou. I appreciate it.
Take care. I love it. I love it. Make sure that we keep in touch with them, because this is a really cool idea. It's 8:49 in the morning. We'll be back right after these.
Hey, this is Mike Steven, and now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show. And by the way, if the show started late, it's probably my fault. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:53 in the morning. Thank you, Michael. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Jim's in Wilmette. Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks so much for taking my call. Appreciate that.
Sure. How can I help you?
Well, quick question here is, we have a bump-out addition, second floor, facing westbound. And a few years back, we had some significant hail damage and had aluminum siding up there. So it was removed and vinyl siding was put on. And it worked great for about 6 or so years. Now, every time it rains, I'm getting water leaks above the window, and then it drips down to the first floor, impacting the plaster ceiling. So I can't figure out why it lasted and did such a great job over the years, and now it's changed.
Okay. The vinyl siding, did they also do anything with the soffit and fascia?
Yes, they did. They put on some new gutters, soffit, and fascia as well.
Okay. And when it's raining, is it only a certain type of rain, or it happens at all times?
Great question. I mean, obviously, a hard-driving rain, it comes in for sure. If it's a very light, misting-type rain,
nothing. Okay. It could be less of a siding issue, as it could be an issue with the soffit and fascia and gutter flashing. How big of an overhang is there over this area?
Not very much. It's less than a foot. The gutter, it's a flat, the bump out has a flat top roof that seems to drain in pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity to actually get out there during the daytime hours, and I saw some drips of rain or water coming down right above the window under the soffit. The soffit's that horizontal piece, is that right?
Correct.
Yes, I saw some water coming down through there, so I started thinking maybe that soffit is acting as though a conduit of water.
Correct. So what I'm thinking is you said the roof above that area is flat?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it's like a rubber roof, like a black rubber roof?
Yes, it was black. It's been coated over a seal reflectant, yes.
Okay. And then it kind of folds over into the gutter?
That's correct.
All right. So my guess is you've got some issue at that point where, and here's the thing with a flat roof in particular, you could have a seam separation closer to the house where the bump out is, and water could be getting under there, but that whole roof is pitched, and it could be coming out over there and getting behind the flashing and dripping down behind that siding and getting to that window and going in. So there's a couple of things you need. You probably need a roofing contractor to come out and inspect this area and try and make it leak on a clear day.
All right.
So they'll come up with a five-gallon bucket, because it isn't about just a hose. You need volume of water to make it leak.
Right.
And so they'll come up and get it to leak. And if you're seeing water coming behind the soffit onto the siding, that's sort of a clear indication that it's an issue with the soffit and the water coming down. And chances are, when was this bump out done?
Bump out was done many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Before we've been here for 20 years, yeah. So it was done way
So there's
before
probably,
that.
You know, now there's all kinds of different codes required when you put in windows and how you flash them that are supposed to protect the window from, and they're better now. They're much better than what we did 25 years ago, that's for sure, where the window essentially gets sealed to the framing underneath there so that if water gets behind the siding, it doesn't get in there. Well, we didn't do that 25 years ago. So my guess is there's not that added flashing around the window. The roofing contractor can inspect that roof area. It might be advisable to take down the vinyl siding around that window and then reflash that existing window more permanently and more securely and then put that siding back up.
All right, so you think it's a combination of the slope roof and perhaps the separation somewhere further up the line.
Correct.
As well as a combination of the flashing above the window.
Above and around the window.
Above and around the window.
Right.
Okay, all right. I mean, because at the time with the hail damage, they did replace the roof as well.
Right.
But
I'm sure they did a fine job, but that there you can... Separate, you know, roofs can separate and a little bitty gap somewhere when, and especially on a flat roof, because the water sits there, you know, it's not like a pitched roof, can work its way underneath there. And it sounds like that's what you need to start at. And you just need to get on, a roofer's timeline to come out and take a look. And now is probably a good time to contact someone. It's been so mild that you
right.
could probably get somebody out there to take a look now. One of the, you know, good source to find roofers is the National Roofing Contractors Association, which is NRCA.net. And if you go there, you can find a bunch of contractors in your area to come out and take a look. Appreciate the phone call. It's 8:58 in the morning. Don't go away.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now when you're feeling low and the fish won't bite.
That's me playing the organ.
You need a little bit of soul to put you right.
Come on, Veronica. You like this jam, right?
I actually do.
9:09 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Good morning. Kathy and Judy coming up a little bit later on this morning after 10. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show brought to you by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Hey, register now through March 17th for the WGN Radio's Bracket Battle sponsored by Al Pamani Ford. Fill out your bracket and make your picks in this year's men's college basketball tournament. Compete against your favorite WGN radio hosts for the chance to win cash prizes and a two-year lease on a 2016 Ford Focus. A perfect 63-game bracket wins $1 million. The person with the highest point total wins the two-year lease from Al Pamani Ford. Keep up with the tournament standings and see how you stack up against the WGN Radio family. Register today and get all the details at WGNradio.com/bracketbattle. And also, don't forget, 312-981-7200 is our Just Text Me segment, which we'll do after 9:30 this morning. So if you'd like to text us a question, we'll answer those after the 9:30 news. Right now, back to the phone, and let's talk to Ray in Lowell. Lowell, Indiana, Ray?
Are you there?
Yes, sir. How may I help you?
Hey, two things about the outlets.
Yes, sir.
Over here in Indiana, we're all upright people.
You are a bunch of good stand-up people there in Indiana, that's for sure.
All right, and the other thing is we have a hardwood floor and we have a patio door, and the sun kind of beats down on it. The floor's been down about 12 years.
Yep.
It was a pre-finished floor, you know, regular hardwood floor.
Yes, sir.
And it's kind of fading, and the sun is really beating down on it. The patio door we hardly use, but we'd like to see the light there, and we're paying for it now.
Sure. Okay, when you say it's faded, is it the finish that's faded or the actual stain as well?
Well, the finish is kind of, down.
All right. Well, the only way you're going to get that back, Ray, is you got to sand the floor and restain it.
Well, how do you do, we have open concept, and it's in the rest of it,
You got to do the whole thing.
Holy mackerel.
Now, here's something you could try, which really won't cost you really hardly anything to do, and it may help blend the finish in a little bit and hide the fact that it's faded. There, have you heard me talk about this floor polish, this finish called Rejuvenate?
Yes.
All right. Do you have the ability, would you have the wherewithal to apply this yourself?
No, and I'm too old.
All right. Well, you might be too old, but you sound good.
Okay, that's good.
All right. You got anybody that could help you with this?
No, not really. It's just getting people now to do stuff and shovel our snow with people.
Got it.
Family comes and helps.
Okay. Well,
and I'm 81.8 years old.
81.8. Yeah. All right. Good. That's good. You're keeping track of it. I like that. I like that. But here's the thing: if you could have someone, if you wanted to, if you wanted to get the floor sanded, then that would be the way to blend it all in. This Rejuvenate product essentially gets mopped down and adds this new shine and finish that really is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get somebody to do it.
Okay.
If you've got a, whether it's a flooring contractor or a nephew or somebody like that that could help you out, that would be something that perhaps could really kind of bring a little bit of life back to that floor.
How about the guys that, originally installed the floor,
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would do it. They would probably want to come and re-sand it and screen it for you. But,
okay.
I mean, certainly you could start with them
okay.
and see if that's somebody you could get to come out and do it. I appreciate the phone call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Gail in Arlington Heights. Hi, Gail. Another hardwood floor question.
Yes, I do, Lou. I really hope you can help me with this one.
Okay.
Love your show. So I moved into this house about a year ago, and the previous owner told us that there were hardwood floors under the carpet, which I was thrilled for because I love hardwood floors. So anyway, I ripped up the guest room carpet, had a couple of marks on it, but otherwise, really, the floor looks beautiful. It doesn't look like we need to sand it and all that stuff.
Okay.
So I go into my daughter's bedroom, and I pull up the carpet, and the carpet pad underneath the carpet pad, it looks like, there are just dots everywhere, all over the floor,
right.
And it's like a sticky tar substance that came off of this old carpet, old greenish carpet pad.
Right.
And so I've been using some elbow grease, and it's kind of taken me a long time. So I'm hoping, since I started this project this week, that maybe you had some tips of a product I could use to try to help me get this nasty black sticky stuff off the beautiful hardwood floors.
Yeah.
Without damaging them, of course. I'd really like to avoid having to sand them and be out of the house for days and all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
So.
Okay, so there's one of two things. It could have been a decay from the pad itself, or they may have put, a lot of times, carpet guys will put a little dots of glue to hold a pad in place.
Okay.
And that's what it potentially could be. So what are you cleaning it with now?
Okay, so I had some Bona hardwood floor cleaner that I had used. The other room that I was talking about had maybe 15 dots in the whole floor.
Right.
And so, use a little of that, and that seemed to bring it up. But when I have this mass amount, it's just, when you go to rub it and it kind of smears, right?
Yeah. All right. So here's what I want. I want you to go buy a bottle of Crud Cutter.
Okay.
With a K.
Okay.
And but I want you to dilute it because it's a concentrate.
Okay.
So maybe put it, they sell it in a gallon jug. You can also get a spray bottle, but then probably get an additional spray bottle. And I want you to cut it probably 50-50.
Okay.
Maybe 60-40. Spray a little bit on the top. And I want you also, when you're buying it, I want you to buy a couple of plastic putty knives.
Okay.
They're very sharp, but they won't dig into the floor. And you're going to spray a little of that crud cutter on there.
Okay.
And then you're going to give it a couple minutes, and you're going to hopefully just scrape it away. And then if you can get a plastic scrubbing pad, you know how you get those plastic scrubbing pads that you would use in the kitchen?
Okay.
Finish it off with that.
A plastic scrubbing pad. Okay, I'll look
You know,
for
like
that.
A scouring pad, it'll be, but it's plastic.
Okay.
So it's not as abrasive, but it's got a little bit of grit to it, so you can wipe it right away. Go with the grain of the wood. Don't, you know, bear down on it like crazy. And then I was talking to that gentleman earlier. If you want to bring that shine back, if you look at it, well, it's a little, got a little dull spot here, dull spot there, put this Rejuvenate product on there. You will be amazed. You mop it on. Within 2 hours, you're back in the room. It's waterborne.
Wow.
The shine is amazing. Okay. And, you know, it gets you out of resanding the floors.
Okay. That's great. I'm hoping this helps.
Do me a favor. Hang on. I got lots of stuff to give away. How about a pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, March 12th?
Oh, that would be beautiful.
You got to hang on March 12th through the 20th at Navy Pier with more than 20 life-size gardens, how-to workshops, and instructional seminars. You can buy tickets and get information at chicagoflower.com. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:17 in the morning. Don't go away.
Hey, man, we've all got our problems, whether it's in the kitchen, in the yard, in the garage, in the bathroom, in the bedroom. Well, actually, let's save that for another show. Lou can help. Now back to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
9:21 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's the phone number that Richard called from Prospect, Illinois.
Yes, good morning, Lou. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Sure, how can I help you?
Okay, I'm in the attic. I've got a couple vents that are getting moisture, and I think they're getting some mold, too, because of it.
Mm.
One is the just the simple bathroom fan vent that exits to the roof, and I was going. I noticed it had fallen off, and I had to reconnect it. And
fallen off from where?
From the roof, from the roof connection.
So there's a vent that goes through the roof, and it
to the roof, the flex vent.
Right, but does it vent out, or does it just go next to a roof vent?
Well, it connects to a roof vent.
Right, but in other words, if I go up into the attic and the fan is on, can I feel the air blowing, or does it vent, get connected all the way out?
It normally is connected all the way out.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Okay, so I noticed inside there that there was some mold in there. I was just going to replace the vent, but I'm worried about why am I getting mold in there? Is there some sort of a moisture buildup? Or
the piping that leads from your exhaust fan out to this this vent that goes, the what's called a roof jack that goes out of there, is that vinyl or metal?
It's vinyl right now.
Okay, so that's part of the problem. So here's what I want you to do. Take that vinyl hose and get rid of it. They're junk.
Okay.
I don't want anybody to ever use a vinyl exhaust fan pipe.
Right.
Now, where that fan comes off in that attic, in relationship to where it goes out of the roof, how close is that?
It's only about maybe 12 or 18 inches away on the horizontal, and then I have to go vertical about a foot and a half or
all
so.
Right. So when you buy the metal pipe, you can buy an expandable metal pipe that'll fit over that four-inch expandable pipe. When you connect that to the fan, I want it to go at least a foot horizontally. Okay?
Okay.
And make sure you cover that with insulation. When you're done, you're going to insulate the whole thing. But so you're going to come about a foot, then you're going to angle and go to that vent cover that's going through the roof and make a nice clean connection.
Right.
Tape it with an aluminum tape so it doesn't, so it's sealed. Wrap that pipe in insulation. You can buy pipe insulation, comes in a roll. Wrap that and what goes horizontal, go over the top of that and cover that with insulation so you temper that metal pipe when it's cold. And when you use that fan, what's important in a bathroom is that you use the fan and run it at least 10 minutes after you're done showering or using the bathroom so that any moisture that's in there gets dried out. Because as it sits there, with that what happens with that vinyl piping is it sags and it can hold water. And that's where that water gets held, and that's where you can eventually get mildew and or mold. But with the metal pipe, that's a little more rigid, and if you angle it correctly and then you run that fan more when you're done using the bathroom, it should dry out and you shouldn't have this problem at all.
Okay, okay. And also, I've got the air conditioning unit is in the attic. And in the winter when it gets below zero, I get water dripping out of the ceiling vents in my rooms.
So that probably is an issue because the attic gets really cold. You're losing heat through those vents, and moisture's collecting right at that vent point, and then you're getting that dripping. So two things you can do. You can make sure that all the vents up in that attic space are well insulated and maybe add additional insulation. And those ceiling vents are only used for air conditioning, correct?
Yes, only air conditioning. Right.
So you can buy at the hardware store these giant magnets that are white. Are the ceilings white?
Yes, they are.
All right. So these giant magnets are white. You can cut them to fit right over your vent and seal those up in the wintertime so you don't get heat loss through the vents.
All right.
And then in the summertime when you're ready to go, you just pull those off so that you're good to go. But adding more insulation into the attic space and then sealing those up should solve that problem. No issues. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:27 in the morning. Don't go away.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Thank you, Veronica. Time now for our Just Text Me segment, where you send us text messages and we answer them. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you going after the show?
Arizona, baby.
Little vacation, heading to the airport, taking your beautiful daughters.
Wish me luck.
Traveling with two little ones on a plane.
Alone, by myself.
Wow.
Lots of apps, lots of movies.
You are superwoman. That
Suckers.
Is not an easy thing to do, right?
We are in the back, the last row of the plane.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, by choice?
Oh, yeah. We wanted, it's loudest back there, and it's
true.
Kind of, you know, everyone wants the front.
Right.
So.
Well, I guess, yeah.
I don't want to.
You can turn your legs over because it's cramped back there. Near the bathroom, it's a little stinky.
True.
Yeah.
But, whatever. So.
Good luck.
Thank you. It'll be worth it once we get down there.
Right, when it's 80 degrees. I think it's going to be 80 degrees like every day in Arizona while you're there, which is
sunny
nice.
And 80 every day.
I know, that's awesome. What do we have?
All right. 630. Hi, Lindsay and Lou. If LED bulbs run cooler, why can't you put them in enclosed fixtures? I need some for my outside lantern type lights attached to my house, and I can't find any.
It's not true.
We actually got two questions like that today.
You can put LEDs in enclosed fixtures. That's not an issue. There's no restriction on that.
All right.
So it may not say it, but you can absolutely put LEDs in enclosed fixtures. And the thing that you'll find with these LED lights, and I do like them, is that in fixtures where you see the bulb, you don't get the same light. So how's the word I'm looking for? Imagine a light bulb, a standard light bulb. And when that light bulb is on, the entire frosted glass or clear piece of glass that's on the lens is illuminated. With LED bulbs now, there's a portion of that shape of the light bulb towards the bottom where some of the electronics are. And light does not emit from that little stem that is the entire glass of a light bulb. And so it looks a little different in a fixture. And so what's happening now as we transition to LED lights, there's going to be a marketable change in how fixtures are made, where they're going to offer, you're going to see in particular coach lights outside, where they'll say, do you want clear glass or frosted glass? Because with the frosted glass, it's not as apparent that that little light isn't emitting from the lower stem of the bulb. But even so, there's a little bit of shadowing. So there's a conceptual thing that you have to get past. In a few years, that will be gone. They'll figure out how to make that light go all the way. But right now, there's a little bit of a
shock.
Well,
right.
It's a difference.
Right.
That you look at it and you're like, it's not quite the same. Mm-hmm. But you can put LED lights in enclosed fixtures.
Okay, moving on. 847. Lou, we just had our beautiful bamboo floors installed. How nice. Should we take care of them and clean them?
How should they do that? Just making sure you're listening. Where is Goods Furniture?
It is take I-80 west to Kewaunee and make a, don't they just say make a left?
I don't think you make a left. I think, well, you probably do make a left. But I guess I suppose from here you'd make a left. It might be a right. I'm not quite sure.
And then take one turn.
There's one light or something like that, right? What was the question?
Bamboo floors. How do we keep them clean?
Bona, hardwood floor cleaner, is really a very mild cleaner that won't cloud up. Use their microfiber pad. I do love bamboo flooring.
It looks great.
Yeah, I'm going to... I think I'm going to build a retirement home in Chicago, like in the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go like to the west side and buy an old rundown bungalow, tear it down, build a house that's like the retirement house because I want to still be in the city, that I can hop in a cab in 10 minutes, not even 5 minutes, I'm right downtown. But I want to have it, I'm going to do a elevator in the house.
You'll need that.
Well, someday you might. But the whole basement, a swimming pool.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And
bamboo floors.
And bamboo floors. That's where I was going. Took me a while to get there.
I
knew that's what I'm doing. Okay, next.
Very good.
How cool would it be to have your grandkids come over, let's go to grandma and grandpa's house and go swimming in their basement?
That would be so fun.
Right?
Wait, so would it be like a retirement home? Oh, I thought you meant like a home, like a whole home for people.
No, just for
us. Just for you. I got it.
My wife and
ooh,
I.
That would be fun. Invite me over too.
Right. And the whole basement. When we went to, you know where I got this idea? The American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin.
Huh.
So we went there for our 25th wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. And they have a spa there. And I'm not a big spa guy, but my wife likes the spa, and I think I got a massage. I'm not a massage guy. I just can't relax. But we went down there. But in the basement was it was almost like a city home, and the whole thing was a swimming pool with a little bit on the side. Right. And a waterfall on one end. And I all of a sudden I'm like, this is what I'm going to build on a city lot. The whole basement's a pool. Next.
708. I had a boiler installed a few years ago. The automatic damper squeaks annoyingly when closing. Is there a way to lubricate it to stop the squeak?
Oh, sure. So with the boilers, that damper is there to help preserve the heat on the heat exchanger when the system shuts down. And it literally is just a metal rod with that damper and a motor connected to it. Take a little lightweight oil, like not WD-40, but 3-in-1 oil. You can buy a little bottle of 3-in-1 oil, and it's got a little tip, and just do a little on the one side and a on the other, and you should be good to go.
I like it.
Yeah.
Last, what are the perks of a metal roof?
Oh, gosh. They're awesome. They're essentially a lifetime roof. I mean, if it's put down, you buy the right one, you know, come talk to me in 100 years. Or you won't talk to me, but you'll talk to somebody, and you'll say, wow, look at that beautiful metal roof. It adds great value to the home. It changes the look of a home architecturally. So, I mean, it's important that you know you want that look. And, you know, people are like, oh, but it's so noisy when it rains. I think it's charming when it rains. And it isn't like, you know, crazy, because you still have sheathing and an attic space. And so I think that metal roofs are awesome. So they cost a lot more. You know, the average cost of a standard, you know, shingled roof is probably $350 a square, which is a 10-foot by 10-foot area. A metal roof, you're probably starting at $1,000. So it's considerably more, but you'll never replace it. And I think it looks great. That's it.
That's all, my friend.
Sponsored by 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines. This is Rita in Evanston. Hi, Rita. You're on WGN.
Hi there.
How can
I called a couple weeks ago. Anyway, the gas company had come and they replaced pipes and stuff, and we keep having a hole fall through like a sinkhole, and they've been back to refill it, and it keeps sinking. Now they're telling us that it's all because of a sewer collapse or something, but we haven't had any backup or any problems or anything. So is there someone I could call in to, like, check it out to find out exactly what's going on?
Okay, I think I do remember you calling where they replaced the gas meters. They dug a big trench, right? The piping
right,
and everything.
Right.
And they
did
this last year?
Yeah, in the summer. Yeah.
Okay. And the soil keeps collapsing.
Correct. Uh-huh.
And they're telling you that it must be a sewer collapse, but they're guessing. They didn't do anything to do an inspection.
No, they didn't.
Okay. So somebody you could call, but the problem is you have to pay for this, Rita.
Oh, Lord.
So the thing is that I would, you know, it's not improbable that when they dug for the gas line that they damaged your sewer line digging.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what I would probably, and the problem is there's no way for you to prove that they did or didn't.
Exactly.
But at the very least, what I would probably do is negotiate with them for you to hire somebody to come and televise your sewer.
Okay.
So they would come in with a camera and go into your sewer line, and they can look at it all the way to the street, and they can say, Rita, your sewer looks fantastic. It's not broken. It's not leaking. Or, Rita, there is a break in your sewer, and you can only hope that one of the gas company guys dropped his ID and it's in there. Okay? So you can call PermaSeal, 800-421-SEAL, because they offer this camera service, and it's a pretty good price.
Yeah, we've used them here before.
Well, then give them a call. And have them come out and give you an estimate. But I would also say to the gas company, all right, you're telling me that this is sewer collapse, but you can't prove that. And so the only way we're going to know this is if I get this sewer line televised, and it's going to cost me X amount of dollars. I want you to pay for it.
Okay.
Or I'm going to keep calling you back to bring dirt every single time.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Which is going to drive you crazy, and it's going to drive them crazy. And I think that they hopefully will respond to that. I appreciate your phone call. It's 9:47 in the morning. Don't go away. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you?
Well, for the last few years, I've had trouble with mold on my vinyl siding on the north side of my house.
Okay.
I've tried many different things. I've tried scrubbing it, power washing it. What I'm wondering is there something I can do to prevent it?
Yes. There's a product you hear me talk about, or perhaps you haven't heard me talk about it. Jeff, do you know where Goods Furniture is?
Kiwani.
Okay. It's called Wet and Forget. Wet and Forget is a mold, mildew, algae, awesome product that they've been using on the top of the Sydney Opera House for over 35 years. You're going to mix it in a pump sprayer as directed in the bottle. And after you power wash and clean all this stuff, you're going to pump spray this onto the side of your building. And then you're going to walk away.
Great.
And then you're going to do this second week in March. And then you're going to do it one more time in August.
Okay.
Twice a year and you're done.
Awesome.
How about that?
That is perfect. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. What road do you take to get out to Kiwani? Do you know? are you still here?
I-80.
Oh, very nice.
Okay, can I defend myself here? I'm really bad on the spot. Like, you cannot put me on the spot. I can't answer questions. My brain doesn't fire that fast.
Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we get Jeff a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. You know, Lou Malnati's is home to Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their... Do you know how many locations they have, Jeff? 40.
No, I don't.
40.
I do.
40. Very good. You can go online at loumelnatis.com. Hang on a second.
Happy trails.
Thank you so much for listening. Time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Veronica Carter. Our last caller is Mary Lou in Lake Villa. Hi, Mary Lou.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
Well, I have a 32-year-old house, two-story colonial, I'm losing track here of what I wanted to say. I need some new siding, I think. It's aluminum sided right now. It has been since the day it was built, and we've got a lot of loose pieces. It's old. It's getting a little faded. And we just had somebody come out to replace a piece of fascia that came loose in last week's windstorm.
Okay.
And I asked him to, you know, do a quick inspection around the house and see if he saw anything else. And he said, well, just your siding, frankly.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what you would recommend we do when money is an object, but we do want something or will want something eventually when the time comes to replace this that will last a long time without a lot of maintenance.
Tell me about your house a little bit, Mary Lou. In other words, people in your area, do they tear down those houses, or they're like, "Wow, these are great houses. I love this house. It's wonderful."
No, it's a subdivision that our house was new when it was put in here. All the houses are just about 30 years old or thereabouts, and so no, there's no tear downs. It's just a nice little normal neighborhood.
Yeah, desirable neighborhood where people move in.
Oh, sure. I mean, in and out, yeah.
So here's the thing. You got a couple choices here. Certainly, you can go with vinyl siding again because it's very nice and there's good quality stuff out there. If you want to step it up a little bit and something that will be more of a value-added proposition, you could go with something called Hardy, which is a cement siding that mimics the look of cedar, that when it's put up and painted, you're standing at the sidewalk looking at the house, you'll swear you got a cedar house. And when you walk up to the front door, you'll still think you have a cedar house. But the bugs don't like it, and the wind doesn't bother it, and it doesn't clatter, it doesn't warp, it doesn't do anything. And it adds real value to the house.
Okay, but you said when you paint it. So how do you have to... How about maintenance? I mean, how often do you have to repaint it?
If you get the factory finish on this product...
Okay.
They give you a 15-year warranty. Now, that being said, I have Hardy board on a screened-in porch on the back of our house that I built with my own two hands in 2001. And I painted it, so it wasn't the factory finish.
Right.
And I haven't painted it since.
Okay.
Okay, so it works really well. Get some estimates and try and figure out what your budget does. But, I mean, vinyl, Hardy, there'll be a big difference between the two. but I think it's a better value-added proposition for you. Hey, for being our last caller, we're also going to send you out a Lou Malnati's gift certificate and check out one of their 40 locations, the best deep dish pizza in Chicagoland. We'll be right back. Kathy and Judy standing by. Hello, ladies.
Hey, Lou.
Didn't you do that last
year,
Lou? I did.
Last year, it was a lot of fun.
Did you win?
You didn't win, did you?
I won for raising the most money.
Ah, okay.
So that was, I got the, I don't know what it was called, but I did not win the dance competition, although it was a lot of fun.
Who did you lose to? Oh, sorry, Jude.
Sarah Jindra.
Oh,
from
yeah.
WGN.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
She's a very fine dancer, and she's easy on the eyes.
So okay. I want to know. Well, you're easy on the eyes.
God bless you.
Have you kept up with your dancing?
No. You know, we did. My wife and I talked about we need to go do this. And I have to tell you, it was a lot of fun. And when I would go and rehearse a lot more than they told me, because what happens is you get your competitive juices going.
Sure.
And you really, like, you want to do well. There would be all these regulars that I would see when I would go for these rehearsals, and these people were having a blast.
I know someone that's been going for years, and her husband doesn't like dancing, and she posts some of these videos. I mean, Tina doing the tango, oh, my God, it looks absolutely impeccable.
It's great. And my wife and I love to dance when we go to events or weddings or whatever. We both dance. I like to think that we're both very good dancers, and she's great, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, John Williams loved taking dance lessons with Brenda.
I'm mad at John
Are
Williams.
Are they still
don't bring
dancing?
Up, please don't bring up John Williams.
Why?
I'm in a feud with John Williams.
Why?
What have we missed?
Okay. So you want me? Do you have a minute?
Absolutely.
Okay. We have two
Veronica.
Okay. Veronica, hold on, please.
It's fine.
So, okay. You know, ladies, how I told you that my wife and I and daughter went to go see Hamilton, the musical, in New York a while back.
How did you get mad? How did you
second
swing
mortgage?
That?
It's my wife. I don't have any idea. I had no idea about Hamilton, and I spent the entire first act of the show with a smile on my face because it was amazing.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I love it. Obsessed with it, this and that. I talked all about it, and John's like, "You really love that show, whatever." I think Brenda and John had like a big wedding anniversary. Is that right? Does anybody know? She's like, "I'm gonna get tickets, but they're so expensive." I go, "John, it's so much fun. Go to New York, take Brenda." Okay, good. And he tells me he buys these tickets in February. He's gonna go see this show.
Mm-hmm.
So this past week, I was in New Jersey. And I've sent him a couple text messages. Did you go see Hamilton? Did you go see Hamilton? And he's never responded to me.
Bastard. Okay.
I know. So I'm in New Jersey this week, and I'm talking to this woman. We're filming at her house. And I see on her bookshelf, she has this book about Alexander Hamilton, which is the Alexander Hamilton book that inspired the musical.
Okay.
Okay. So I said, oh, my gosh, this is so funny. I have this friend of mine. He does this show with this guy that pretends to be Thomas Jefferson. This lady looks at me and says, what? I go, yeah, dead president. And this guy, Thomas Jefferson was a jerk. And I go, yeah. And I go, well, anyway,
what?
John's going to go see. And he was, actually. I go, he's going to go see this with his wife. And it's so great, whatever. So I am in New Jersey going, hey, by the way, I go, hey, so did you and your wife go see Hamilton? This is me texting John. He goes, no, please don't be angry. I go, I thought you bought the tickets. He go, I know you thought that. I didn't have the heart to tell you. I'll go in the fall in Chicago. Hey, we can double date. Then I text him back. Just today, I was in New Jersey telling this nice woman about the show and how I have a friend, well, not anymore, who does this live show with a guy who dresses up like Thomas Jefferson. She loves history and interjected that Jefferson was and I can't say the word, mm-hmm. and how he's going to see it with his wife and how I can't wait to talk about him. And then I said to John, you're dead to me. He goes, no, seriously. I asked TJ, and he said, I don't have permission. And I go, remind me to slap you when we go to Hamilton together and you buy the tickets in Chicago.
I don't understand why you're mad.
I don't either.
I
because
get it.
He said
I was so excited
he
to
said
talk.
Because John
go.
Let
yeah.
you down. John
what?
Let you down by not following through
you
to
know.
See Hamilton.
Right? Exactly.
I get it.
Right?
Well, the tickets are like $1,000.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's not like John can't.
He's got plenty of money.
He works two jobs.
He's got eight jobs. You know
he's
how much?
A major market radio host
right.
in two and, cities.
Right. Thank you. And I'm sitting there. I'm building it all up. I'm like, I cannot wait to like go, can you believe he did this? And can you believe that? So now I'm reading the book on Alexander Hamilton, which is fascinating.
My brother's reading it right now, and he's here. He said they're doing it on tape. It's 36 hours.
Okay. I know, but it is so fascinating. This guy was something else.
Radio. 1004. Oh, geez. Maybe there's some news.
So I'm not talking to John.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lou.
I love you, ladies. Have a great show.
All right.